वासुदेवाय नारायण नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती मैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः. रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 19 टेक्स्ट नंबर 13. इदं हि योगेश्वर योग नैपुणं इदं हि योगेश्वर योग नैपुणं हिरण्यगर्भो भगवान् जगादयत् हिरण्यगर्भो भगवान् जगादयत् यदन्तकाले त्वयि निर्गुणे मनो भक्त्या दधित् जित दुष्कर देवर भक्त्या दधीतो जित दुष्कर देवर इदं हि योगेश्वर योग नैपुणं हिरण्यगर्भो भगवान् जगादय यदन्तकाले त्वयि निर्गुणे मनो भक्त्या दधितो जित दुष्कलेवर इदं हि योगेश्वर योग नैपुणं हिरण्यगर्भो भगवान् जगादय यदन्तकाले त्वयि निर्गुणे मनो भक्त्या दधीतो जित दुष्कदेवर इदं दिस् हि सर्टेनली योग ईश्वर ओ माय लॉर्ड मास्टर ऑफ ऑल मिस्टिक पावर Yoga Naipunam, the expert process of executing yogic principles. Hiranyagarbha, Lord Brahma, Bhagavan, the most powerful, Jagad, spoke, yet, which, Antakale, at the time of death, Tvai, in you, Nirgune, the transcendence, Manaha, the mind, Bhaktya, with a devotional attitude, Dadita, one should place, Ujjita Dushkalevara, having given up his identification with the material body. Translation. O my Lord, Master of all mystic yoga, this is the explanation of the yogic process spoken of by Lord Brahma, Hiranyagarbha, who is self-realized. At the time of death, all yogis give up the material body with full detachment simply by placing their minds at your lotus feet. That is the perfection of yoga. Purport. Srila Madhvacharya says, Yasya samyak bhagavati jnanam bhakti tathaiva cha nischintas tasya mokshasyat sarva papa krito pitu. For one who very seriously practices devotional service during his lifetime in order to understand the constitutional position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, liberation from this material world is guaranteed. Even if he has previously been addicted to sinful habits. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Api chet sudurācāro bhajate mām ananyapāk sādhu evasa mantavya samyak vyavasto hi saha. Even if one commits the most abominable actions, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated. Bhagavad Gita 9.30. The only purpose of life is to be fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna and his form, pastimes, activities and qualities. I repeat, the only purpose of life is to be fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna and his form, pastimes, activities and qualities. If one is able to think of Krishna in this way, 24 hours a day, he is already liberated. Swarupena vyavasthita. Whereas materialists are absorbed in material thoughts and activities, devotees on the contrary are always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna and Krishna's activities. Therefore, they are already on the platform of liberation. One has to think of Krishna with full absorption at the time of death. Then he will certainly return home back to Godhead without a doubt. Om Jnanati Vyandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yatripatamaham Vande Sri Guru Dinatarinam Vanchakalpacharubhyascha Kripasindhubhyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare. Hare Krishna.
Hare.
So we are reading from chapter 5, canto 5, chapter 19 and text 13. O my Lord, Master of all mystic yoga, this is the explanation of the yogic process spoken of by Lord Brahma, Hiranyagarbha, who is self-realized. At the time of death, all yogis give up the material body with full detachment, simply by placing their minds at your lotus feet. That is the perfection of yoga. So, the fifth canto in its is continuing to discuss Vedic cosmology. That's how it seems at the outset, that it is discussing Vedic cosmology. But wherever you open the Srimad Bhagavatam, just like when you bite off, very sweet fruit. Wherever you bite it from, it will give you taste. So, apparently in the discussion of Vedic cosmology, Srimad Bhagavatam is still giving us the messages of bhakti. That is the beauty of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is why it is unlike any other Purana. It is considered as Paramahamsa Samhita, the highest Purana, the highest scripture. So, in this rendition of the Vedic cosmology, the Srimad Bhagavatam talks about different planetary systems, wherein it talks about Bhumandal, which is our Mandal, in one sense, where we live. In Bhumandal, it talks about different islands, one of the most prominent being Jambudvip, which is the center. In that Jambudvip, it talks about different varshas, different tracts of land, and each particular tract of land has got a predominating deity and a devotee who is the principal worshipper of that particular deity. Few days back, we finished discussion of one such varsha, which is called as Kim Purusha Varsha, where we discussed about Hanuman glorifying Lord Ramachandra. And in the last two or three verses, discussion has now gone to another varsha, which is our own varsha, which is Bharata Varsha. So, it is said that in Bharata Varsha, who is the predominating deity? It is Nar Narayan Rishi in Badrikashram. And who is worshipping Nar Narayan Rishi? Who is the greatest devotee? Narad Muni. So, Narad Muni is, it is said, is eternally engaged in service of Nar Narayan Rishi. Now, in verse 11, Sukadeva Goswami glorifies Narad Muni. Because Sukadeva Goswami has now moved on from Kim Purusha Varsha discussion to Bharata Varsha discussion. So, in verse 11, before he starts talking about Bharata Varsha, he glorifies Narad Muni. And from verse 12 onwards is a description of Narad Muni's prayers unto Nar Narayan Rishi. Narad Muni's prayers unto Nar Narayan Rishi. So yesterday Narad Muni has started praying to Nar Narayan Rishi. And yesterday's verse, Narad Muni talks about how Lord Krishna is the cause of all causes. In one sense, that he is the cause of creation, cause of maintenance, and cause of destruction. And how Lord Krishna appears to have accepted a human form, and he is deeply seems to be engaged in this material world in his pastime, but yet how he is very aloof from material nature. So that was what was yesterday's verse. And Prabhava Prabhu gave a very nice explanation. So today's verse, Narad Muni is continuing his glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At this point in time, Nar Narayan Rishi, and the focus of today's verse or glorification of Narad Muni's the focus of Narad Muni's glorification is the process of remembering the Lord at the time of death, or the process of smaranam of the Lord. And how does he call the Lord as? He addresses the Lord as Yogeshwar, and there is a method behind this. Why is he calling the Lord as Yogeshwar in this particular verse? Because the Lord is the, so because thoughts of the Lord are the culmination of any yogic processes. Any yogic process has to culminate in smarana. So the perfect culmination of any yogic process is Ante Narayana Smriti. This is what Srimad Bhagavatam also says early on in the earlier cantos. It has mentioned that. And attaining Lord Krishna's lotus feet is the only real and permanent liberation, moksha. In the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which we are presently studying as a part of our Bhakti Vedanta under His Grace Kesha Prabhu. So, it talks about four types of annihilation. In talking about the four types of annihilation, it says that there is constant annihilation. Constant annihilation is human beings dying all the time. Then it talks about occasional annihilation, where that is a temporary annihilation, where the three worlds are annihilated, whereas the top lokas like Satya Loka, Tapa Loka, Mahar Loka, they are still preserved. And all the souls are in Sushupti under within Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So that is partial annihilation, where the egg is universal, egg is still intact. Then it talks about full or final annihilation, which is the annihilation of the cosmic egg as well, and then all the material elements going in reverse integration back into the original cosmic substance, which is Pradhan. So that is the final annihilation. However, the same Srimad Bhagavatam says there is one more annihilation, which is called as elemental annihilation, which it says is that annihilation where by which the jiva completely disconnects with the material energy. Because until we disconnect ourselves completely with the material energy, we are still vulnerable to Pradhan. We are still vulnerable to going, getting into Pradhan, and through Pradhan coming back into this material world. So that ultimate cut of the soul with that Pradhan is actually defined as moksha. So that is liberation. Of course, that is the metaphysical explanation of liberation. The spiritual explanation of liberation is given here, which is Ante Narayana Smriti, or remembering the lotus feet of the Lord. That is real and permanent liberation. Now, for smaran, for remembering the Lord with intensity, one needs help of one's mind. Mana eva manushyanam karanam bandha mokshaya. The mind is the reason for bondage, and the mind is the cause of liberation also. So, now, while smaranam needs help of the mind, a control of this particular mind can happen only if by sincere sadhana. Again, here if you see the somewhere Prabhupada has also used the word sincere here. Yes, serious. Prabhupada says, for one who very seriously practices devotional service. Prabhupada did not say for one who very perfectly practices devotional service. Seriousness is what is in our hands. Bestowing perfection is in Krishna's hands, because he is all perfect. We are not perfect. Jiva is not perfect. So Krishna has to bestow perfection. So smaranam needs help of the mind, and such control of the mind comes by the culmination of sincere shravanam and sincere kirtanam. Because ultimately Lord is called as Rishikesh. On one hand he is called as Yogeshwar, another aspect of Yogeshwar is Rishikesh. Lord is the controller of our senses. When we start chanting, that is the time we realize how monkey-minded our mind is. Till we sit for chanting, we don't realize. When we sit for chanting, what happens? The mind like a monkey jumps from here to there. So, Chaitanya Charan Prabhu, in one of his classes, he says that distraction is nothing but alternate attraction. So, an example was given by His Grace Adesham Prabhu in one of his classes, because I am hearing some of his classes in preparation for Janmashtami. So, he says that in Howrah, one devotee was once sent to do a presentation. And he was carrying a projector in his hand, very expensive projector. So, when he got down at Howrah station and he started walking on the streets, and Howrah is a pretty notorious place. So, what happened was, he saw suddenly rupee notes flying in the air, 200, 300 rupee notes are flying everywhere, and spontaneously he kept the projector down and went to pick up the notes. By that time projector was gone. Okay. This is welcome to India, Mera Bharat Mahan. So therefore projector was gone. So this is how the mind is. The mind takes you away and it gives you an alternate attraction, which is always almost towards our nemesis. So, and sometimes what happens, this alternate attraction is so attractive that we never realize when we have finished our rounds. We never realize it. And suddenly we realize, 16 over, or whatever number of rounds one does. So, the only way of keeping the mind, this monkey mind, steady it is recommended is to hear more. Poor Shravanam means poor Kirtanam. Invariably, this is the fact. And all of us as practicing devotees have realized this, that our Shravanam is weak, our Kirtanam will always be weak. So, what happens when we do Shravanam, our faith increases. And when our faith increases, we can be more attentive to the holy names of the Lord. So, good Shravanam leads to good Kirtanam, but good Kirtanam also leads to good Shravanam. So, it's a cyclic effect in one sense. So, coming back to the aspect of Kirtanam, the chanting part, Srimad Bhagavatam gives a beautiful verse. Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 2nd chapter, the last verse, 49th verse. It says, Mriyamano Harer Nama Grinan Putropacharitam Ajamilo Api Agadham Kim Uttashradhaya Grinan. While suffering at the time of death, Ajamil chanted the holy name of the Lord, and although the chanting was directed towards his son, he nevertheless returned home back to Godhead. Therefore, if one faithfully and inoffensively chants the holy name of the Lord, where is the doubt that one will return to Godhead? So, though the assistants went back, the Vishnudutas came there, and actually the Vishnudutas told Lord Vishnu, they said that, look, we can't take him because he was calling his son Narayana. He was not, you know, in your Rante Narayana Smriti. He was calling his son Narayana. But Lord Vishnu did not say, he said, no, you go back, you please recheck. Go back. Because he called out to Narayana like that. So therefore, in the Gajendra prayers, Gajendra refers to the Lord as Bhuri Karnaya. Bhuri Karnaya means what? Although the Jiva repeatedly turns away from the Lord is more eager to take us back than we are eager to go back to Him. So therefore, He comes behind us birth after birth, at least as the super soul. And in the life of devotees, He comes by in the form of association. He gives us association of saintly personalities. So much for even imperfect chanting, where Lord as Bhuri Karnaya is taking care. So if someone chants with Shraddha, how much more benefits one can get? So when we hear these kind of pastimes, this is the power of Smaran. Though we are talking about chanting, we are hearing about chanting. So this is actually Smaranam. So when we hear these kind of pastimes, we get faith in the holy name, and the mind gradually, a mind where faith is strong, that mind comes gradually under control. So an example is given that a car, controlling a car doesn't mean just parking the car and keeping it standstill on the side of the road. At the end of the day, car is meant to be driven, it has to transport us. We cannot say, okay, I am going to control the car now, so I am going to just be in one place. It's not possible, right? Car is meant to travel. So, a car can be controlled by carefully steering the car amidst all the dynamics that the road gives us, the random dynamics that it gives us from point to point or from time to time. Now, steering the car requires skill and knowledge. It requires knowledge of the do's and don'ts. Keep so many distance away from the previous car. Do not cross the speed limit. Like that. Someone was telling, His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj said, Krishna's mercy stops beyond 100 kilometers per hour on the freeway. Okay. So we cannot drive like a madman and then say the Lord will protect. So we have responsibility. So we cannot say, Rishikesha, you protect my mind, let my mind go astray. So there has to be a sincere effort in order to bring the mind back. And Lord notices that sincerity. This is what Bhagavad Gita also talks about, and gives a talk for his example. Engage senses, withdraw senses. So controlling senses, the ownership, the effort for that, the onus is on us. But the culmination, in whether it be perfect or not, that is in Krishna's hands. Now, how to steer this mind? How to train this monkey mind and calm it down? So as we said, the process is Shravana. Jiva Goswami says that when you hear the holy name attentively,
Shravanam during Kirtanam, when we hear the holy name attentively, Lord Krishna notices the sincerity of that effort from within the heart, and then he bestows us with attentive chanting. Why? Because he bestows us with purification from within, which leads to attentive chanting. Now, when a person then attains the state of attentive chanting, then the import of Krishna Katha also registers in one's mind completely. And then one can contemplate on the deeper meanings of Krishna Katha. Srila Prabhupada said, one can be completely attentive if one's mind is completely pure. So the mind has to be pure. And therefore Prabhupada instructed one more dimension, because it will take some time to come to the platform of attentive hearing and attentive chanting. So Prabhupada gave one more dimension. Because Prabhupada said that controlling habits is easier than controlling our mind. Controlling habits is easier than controlling our mind. So Prabhupada therefore instructed us to purify our habits, and that's why he gave us the four regulative principles. Therefore, these three principles of controlling habits, hearing and chanting can help control one's mind and then peacefully focus on Lord Krishna. And when one does it throughout life, then it becomes easier to do it at the time of death. Otherwise, there is no magic that we can expect at the time of death, which is a very painful and bewildering process. Now, how do we get to the point of Shravanam, Kirtanam, developing good habits, etc.? And that is where association of exalted Vaishnavas comes. Exalted Paramahamsa Vaishnavas. And this association can be Vapu association if we are fortunate. But more important is Vani. Vani association. Through their lectures, through their books. So when we take the association of such Paramahamsas, wisdom comes out in five stages. There are five levels in which wisdom happens. The first stage is called as Pratyaksha. When we associate with Paramahamsas, the first stage of association is called as Pratyaksha. Pratyaksha means when we see great Vaishnavas and develop attraction for their qualities. When we just see, when many people simply saw Prabhupada at the airport, this is called as what? Pratyaksha. You are seeing the Lord. And then you are developing great attraction for that person's or that Paramahamsa's qualities. So much so that eventually we want to be like that person. Sorry. Some people would have woken up. Thanks. I would have put someone to sleep for the last 20 minutes. Not my problem. So I was talking about the importance of association. Because unless a devotee keeps oneself in the fire of association, one cannot get rid of bad habits, which is one instruction, one lever of purification. One cannot attain the other lever of purification, which is Shravana. One cannot attain the third lever of purification, which is Kirtana, and therefore it will not culminate in Smaranam at the time of death. Talking about association, we were talking about that how association gradually progresses in five stages to give us wisdom. The first stage is what? It's called as Pratyaksha. Pratyaksha means when we see a particular Paramahamsa devotee of the Lord and then we want to be like that person. So this is called as Pratyaksha. The second is called as Paroksha. Paroksha means para aksha. Para means another, aksha means eyes. Paroksha. So initially we only see or watch this particular devotee. Like for example, when we came to ISKCON, our very first lecture in ISKCON. For me it was Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj, I remember, in Chopadi temple when he was Devamrita. That was the first ever time that I heard a lecture. My friend had actually forcefully dragged me to the temple. Okay, so I sat and obviously I was hearing and I couldn't understand anything. He was talking about the purpose of the eye. And Maharaj was talking about that. That's the only thing I remember. Okay. And then I remember it was to see Krishna. This is the only message I got from that teacher.
probably is the biggest message in one sense. But I was attracted to somehow, something attracted me to Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj at that time. And I thought that this person is not from this planet. Okay. So it was like that. So sometimes that is pratyaksha, and then paroksha is when you hear. So initially you only see. But what happens when we continue this process, paroksha, what happens? We start seeing the world through their eyes. Initially we see them with their eyes, then we start seeing the world through their eyes. Okay. That is called as paraksha, paroksha. And then we don't see the world through our eyes. For example, when we go to Vrindavan, okay, nobody will urinate under a tree in Vrindavan. People will hesitate 10 times. Why? Because Vrindavan trees are called as what? Kalpavriksha. So immediately some habits will get changed. Remember, oh my goodness, this is what I heard. Paramahamsas told me like this. The third is aparoksha. So there is pratyaksha, there is paroksha, and then there is aparoksha. Aparoksha means we see not only through their eyes, but eventually we see through our eyes also. We also realize that whatever they say, I can also see and experience that now practically. Like that. For example, we often hear that devotee association, loss of a devotee association is the most difficult pain for a devotee. But when we actually lose devotee association, we start realizing how important it is. Right? In the pandemic, yesterday, somebody was giving, day before yesterday, Upavadishtra Vaidhi was giving class. Right? And he was talking about how we all are practically feeling, even the temple devotees are feeling separation from the congregation and vice versa. Right? So this is called as aparoksha. Now we are experiencing how important a congregation is, how important temple devotees are, how important temple is. So we are experiencing all these things. This is aparoksha. So, or when we see people in parlors, when you see people dancing in pubs, initial days, at least when I was studying, okay, the greatest fun was, we used to ask people, when is a party? Party, it will be there, no? What a prince, man. Wow, first class. And we used to, what? That was our idea of having fun. But now when we see people dancing on the Saturday night music, over booze, what happens? Then we can see people suffering actually, right? So our whole vision has changed. Why? Who has made the difference? Prabhupada. So, pratyaksha, paroksha, aparoksha. And then we come to the next stage of adhokshaja. Adhokshaja means what? Now we start seeing the world spiritually. This is called as sastra chakshu. We see all jivas as spirit souls, as children of God. And we see the super soul within all of them. So we are seeing others and seeing their suffering, and we call them as karmis. That's one stage. But we see them, and we see the Paramatma inside them also. We see Paramatma within all living entities. We see everything as Vasudeva Kutumbam. Nothing is independent of Krishna. Sthavara jangama dekhe na dekhe taramurti. Sarvatra aya nija ishta devasmurti. Wherever I see my dear Lord, I see only you. Like that. So adhokshya. And then the fifth stage is aprakat. Aprakat means what? Then when the devotee comes to this state, then what happens? That which is not manifest will now become manifest. The devotee's heart is now filled. Of course, it is not showing outside, but inside the heart, it is filled with pastimes of the Supreme Lord. And that is revealed by the Lord's grace. Then we relish Lord Krishna's mercy. So these are the five stages in which through association one develops wisdom. The pratyaksha, paroksha, aparoksha, adhokshaja, and aprakat. Five stages. Now, by gradually hearing from, by associating with these Paramahamsas, by hearing from them, one ascends gradually. But it is also mentioned that it is not enough to only hear. What do devotees do after hearing? What is the verse? Chatushloki, second one. Bodhanita Parasparam, what is the verse? Machita Matkata Prana, Bodhayanta Parasparam, Kathayanta Schamamitya, Tushyanti Cha, Ramanti Cha. So it is not just enough to hear Krishna Katha, has to be discussed with other devotees. That is why we have, even in our Bhakti Vaibhav, we have study groups. Our students have study groups, you know, Bhakti Vedanta, we ourselves do study groups, you know. So like that. So it is important to discuss it with devotees. Because when we discuss this Krishna Katha with devotees, our own understanding of Krishna Katha becomes deeper. We start churning that milk. Churn Krishna Katha. Like that. So, for example, a simple principle of non-violence, when we churn it in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that churning itself becomes gives us more realizations of this principle. On one hand, the principle of Mrigari, who stopped killing animals, that's one understanding of non-violence, right? Then another understanding of non-violence we see from Maharaj Parikshit, that he never killed anyone. Okay, it's not that he stopped killing, but when he was cursed, he did not counter personally, right? So that is another example of non-violence, where forget about you offending someone. When others offend you, you pardon them. Then we go to a higher principle of non-violence, which is Prahlad Maharaj, that you pray for someone who offends you, which is Hiranyakashipu. He is praying, may my father be delivered. This is another level of non-violence, right? And then the fourth level is Bhagavan himself, for Putana. Though she smeared poison in her breast, he gave her the position of Dhatri Uchita. So when we churn the Srimad Bhagavatam like that, apparent moral principles are churned so much that they give us a very deep perspective of that particular moral principle. So when we discuss this with devotees, we reinforce each other's conviction when we come together and study Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, this is called as next is called as manana. This is called as manana, churning of the pastimes. Smaranam, kirtanam, mananam. And then we remember these pastimes better. So hearing, reflecting, remembering and relishing ourselves these pastimes, and then sharing and churning these pastimes with devotees, makes this Krishna Katha enter deeper and deeper inside our hearts. Now, coming back to, you know, Prabhupada's specific verse today, Narada Muni's praise about remembering the Lord at the time of death. Now let us go back to the Ajamil pastime. Ajamil was actually born in a Brahminical family. Then he developed bad habits. He observed the prostitute. Jayato Vishayan Bhumsan happened with him. Sangaste Shukhajayate. He went and married prostitute, and then he started ignoring his parents. Right? So a very sinful life. A pious birth followed by a sinful life, followed by what? Followed by Namabash. Narayana, he called out. Now, what was his mood when he called out Narayana? What was his emotion when he called out Narayana? One of fear, utter fear. Because he was seeing these scary personalities in front of him. So, fear gave him Namabash. He didn't do Namabash, knowing Namabash. But what did he do? His Namabash was what? He called out to the person who he loves most, who was his son Narayana. So you can see, even in fear, you call out to the person who you love. Therefore, love is more powerful than love can overcome that fear. In one sense, can you see the dominance of love in that emotion? The dominance of love over that situation of fear. So when we develop love or preeti for the Lord, and we call out to Krishna, where will fear be? There is no place for fear, right? Even if Nam Abhash can give Ajamil that second chance that he got, what if someone develops pure preeti for the Lord? So that is our point of discussion for the next part of the class. So we need to develop that preeti towards the Lord. Now, how will we love someone till we relish the sweet aspects of that person? For example, in Bollywood, there is one song, okay. It says, aise hasti thi, wo aise chalti thi. Chand ke jaise chupti aur nikalti thi. There was one song, very famous song in Bollywood. where the hero is glorifying the mundane beauty of a mundane woman, right? But if you see, what is he doing? He's talking about the various sweet aspects of his, of the object of his love, which is that lady. Now replace Krishna with that. That's what his devotional service, right? So, therefore, Vallabhacharya gave us the Adharam Madharam. So, instead of these mundane Bollywood songs, now we sing Adharam Madharam. So, we replace that which is mundane with something which is transcendental. The principle is same, that unless we really understand the sweetness of the Lord, how can we love Him? And therefore, amidst a very fearful environment or ecosystem which death provides us, how can we overcome that fear and think of our loved one? It's not possible. Therefore, Antyanarayana Smriti can come only when we really understand and internalize the sweetness of the Lord. So, and this sweetness of the Lord has got many, many aspects. Some aspects we will discuss, which will help us aid our smarana at the time of death. So, Adharam Madharam, we talked about. When Lord Krishna, what does this mean? When Lord Krishna is playing his flute under the Kadamba tree in the moonlit night, his lips are shining. Adharam Madharam. His lips are shining like the Bimba fruit. So, Vallabhacharya is saying that shine of your lips is very beautiful. Adharam Madharam. Then he says Vadanam Madharam. Vadanam means what? The moonlight shining face of the Lord. His face is shining like full moon. So his lips are like a bimba fruit. And then his face is like a full moon. Adharam Madhuram, Vadanam Madhuram. Then Nayanam Madhuram. Nayanam means his eyes. His eyes are like lotus petals. It is said that simply with those eyes, if he glances at us, he takes away our impurities with that glance. Adharam Madhuram, Vadanam Madhuram, Nayanam Madhuram, and then Hasitam Madhuram. Hasitam Madhuram means his face is most beautiful, especially his smile. Now, it is said that if one observes the smile of the Lord, an ocean of our suffering is evaporated. When we see the Lord smiling, many times it happens when we are having serious problems. Suddenly when our eyes go to our deity, in our house we have Radha Vallabha on the altar. When we see Radha Vallabha smiling, suddenly we think, okay, what is he smiling amidst all these things? And I am miserable like that. But when you see his smile, it gives you, it mollifies our misery to a great extent. So this is Hasitam Madhuram. And it is said that actually the Lord's smile is the cure for lustful desires. Lusty desires, when one has to overcome, one can see the beautiful smiling face of the Lord. Because the smiling face of the Lord removes the lusty desires. Hridayam Madhuram. Hridayam Madhuram. In Dwaraka Leela, the Lord went to, Sudama went to the Lord. But what did the Lord do? Everyone was singing, even the gatekeeper stopped him because he was completely bedraggled. Sudama. Saying, who is this fellow? No, coming to the palace of the Lord. You can't come like that. Like a beggar, literally. So, but when the Lord saw him, what happened? The Lord ran out of the palace. He hugged Sudama. He brought Sudama very affectionately to the palace. He did Pada Puja to Sudama and he did Aarti to Sudama and gave him Karpur, Tambul, everything. The way a devotee should worship the Lord is worshipping the devotee. This is the heart of the Lord. Hridayam Madhuram. So, Adharam Madhuram, Vadanam Madhuram, Nayanam Madhuram, Hasitam Madhuram, Hridayam Madhuram. So, we have to meditate on all these qualities of the Lord. Then, Preeti develops. Then, Gamanam Madhuram. Gamanam Madhuram means his walking. The Lord's walking. So, in the Gocharana Leela, the Lord is taking the cows for the cowherd pastime. It is said the Lord's lotus feet becomes pinkish in color because of the hard ground. Of course, the Lord says, no, I will not accept footwear. Will you give footwear to walk to the cows? So, when he touches the stone, so the redness of the Lord's feet, that is called as Gamanam Madhuram. And then Venur Madhuram. The Lord playing the flute. So Venur Madhuram. So in the Adi Keshava temple, Radhesham Prabhu was telling that when he visited the Adi Keshava temple, he saw a beautiful Muralidhar carving. I also got to the Adi Keshava temple. I have no memories of that. In the South India Yatra in 2010 and gone. But so it is said that in this temple there is a beautiful Muralidhar carving. The Lord Muralidhar. Of course, Adi Keshava Lord is lying also, that's the main deity, but there is Muralidhar. Now there is the carving wherein a cow is standing. Krishna is playing flute, but a cow is standing there, and the cow is standing on two legs. Now cows usually stand on four legs, but the cow is standing on two legs. But what is more astonishing is behind the cow, a tiger is standing with one hand on the cow, on the shoulder of the cow. And even more astounding is, a deer is standing with its hand on the tiger, which is not possible in the material world, correct? It's not possible, it's not logical, it does not happen. A deer runs away from the tiger, right? But deer is standing with its hand on the tiger. And even more astonishing is, the calf is drinking milk from the udders of the tiger. And the cub of the tiger is drinking milk from the udder of the cow. Okay, so this is logically impossible. So Radhesham Prabhu says, when I asked them, I thought there is a mistake in this picture. Pujari said, no, this is a very old picture, there is no mistake here. This is what happens when your Krishna plays the flute. Venur Madhura Re. Paneer Madhura, Pado Madhura. So, Venur Madhura, then Renur Madhura, which is the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord. Where is this glorified? Rukmini glorifies it. In the letter to the Brahman, which he sends, no? The love letter, which he writes. In the last paragraph of that love letter, she tells the Lord, I am not sure whether you will accept me. I am not sure whether you accept me. But I am willing to wait 100 lifetimes. I don't mind waiting. Hundreds of lifetimes. I'll wait. I'll do penances for hundreds of lifetimes. To achieve what? The dust of your feet. Renur Madhuram, the dust of the feet. Because she says, This dust is even sought out by Lord Shiva himself. And Lord Brahma, they are also seeking this dust. So when we get this Renur Madhura, the dust of the feet of the Lord, then that dust removes the dust inside all our heart. Cheto Darpana Marjana. Frees us from all material desires and bestows prema on us. And that dust empowers us to do extraordinary activities. It empowers the devotee to achieve great things in his lifetime or her lifetime. Then, Paneer Madhura. The Lord's hands are very soft and tender. It is said that Arjun, when he used to be completely bruised, and he used to come from battle, obviously there will be immense pain in the body, right? So, Arjuna used to lie down, immense pain, all body is aching, full day fighting in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. All the Lord will do is, he will move his palm, Paneer Madhura. His hands will touch Arjuna in various parts of the body, and all the wounds will disappear. So, with the same hands, the Lord gives benedictions. The Lord gives benedictions. One thing that I always love about Radha Vallabha is that every day I place Tulsi in the Lord's feet, but I also place Tulsi in Radharani's hands. Because Radharani's hands are so beautiful. You see the hand, you place Tulsi and you pray and you take Tulsi from there, right? So,
we are very fortunate. So, Radharani is straight standing like this and blessing everyone.
So, we have access to her hands and we have access to the feet of Vallabha. Of course, his hands are making for fruit.
But the Lord's hands are very paneer madhura.
Now it is said that in the Rasalila, when the gopis closed their eyes in the Rasalila and they were dancing, they were perspiring, dancing, they were had no external consciousness. The Lord wiped with his hands their perspiration and he soothed the gopis. And it is said when the Lord did that, the gopis didn't realize the Lord was doing that. Okay, because they were in ecstasy of the Lord, right? So they felt that it was a fragrant flower, like that. The Lord's hands were had that fragrance and it soothed their tiredness. In fact, even in the Akasura pastime, we said that when initially Akasura was a rascal, he was a demon, right? So when the gopas entered his mouth was smelling like a public lavatory. Sulabh Shauchalaya, we said. But what happened? When Krishna entered after that and came out, it is said that Akasura's mouth was very fragrant. Same thing in Putana's body also. Putana's body was fragrant when they were, you know, finally, you know, cremating or whatever. Then the fragrance was going miles like that. Even in, again in Rishabhadev's past time, it is said Rishabhadev's stool was also fragrant. Like that. So this is, we can't, only Bhagavan can do this, right? So Paneer Madhura, then Padav Madhura, the lotus feet of the Lord. We are studying the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. We are almost towards the end of the 12th canto. Now, we are studying Markandeya Rishi's pastimes. Markandeya Rishi made one, he had one desire. I don't know why he desired that. He wanted to see the universal devastation. So Krishna said, okay, so be it. My God, the description is so vivid. Nobody will pray like that. I, at least I will never pray. I want to see universal devastation. It is horrible. It's very difficult to even read. You get scared when you see the universal devastation. Markandeya Rishi told the Lord, I want to see your external energy. Will anyone pray like that? But he prayed. So Lord showed him all the external energy. After that, what happened? When he saw the external energy, he got completely bewildered. But then what happened? Towards the end, he saw on a leaf, who is there? Baby Krishna. And what was Lord doing? He was sucking his own toe. So, this is Padava Madhura because the Lord sucks his own toe because he sees that the whole world is crazy behind my lotus feet. What is that? Let me also suck and see. So, Padava Madhura. And when Markandeya Rishi simply saw this, Lord sucking his toe, his pain also went there. Like that. Then, Nityam Madhuram. Nityam, the Lord's dance. Where is, what is the pastime of the Lord's dance? We all know Kaliya. Kaliyas, in fact, if you go to the Crown Casino once, I remember I had taken my son, the childhood, we take for the, what is that, the games area, which was there. So there, they have one game, and you, in fact, it's not a game, you can actually play that and you can get points. There is music, and then what happens? Different lights are on the floor. You have to jump to the right thing, and then you will get points like that. So I was trying that, obviously, you know, I can't dance. I have two left feet, you know, so I will, you know, this dancing and me don't go, it'll go ill together. So I think I probably got 0 points or something like that. Okay. I can't remember. But the children can jump very far from here to there. They can observe the light and their senses are, their response is very quick. So now, when we hear Kaliya's pastimes, we can see Kaliya's hoods were going up and down randomly here and there. But Krishna perfectly was smashing his hood one by one. Whenever his hood went up, Krishna knew which hood is going. Almost spontaneously, Krishna hit that hood with his lotus feet. So, this is Nityam of the Lord. Nityam Madhuram. Nobody can dance like that. Everybody was just watching the Lord like that. They forgot all the poison and everything. Okay, what is this going on here? Magna in the Lord. So, it is also mentioned once that Radharani was once going and there were clouds on top of Radharani. And the clouds assembled. And Radharani wanted to tell the clouds that you go and give message to the Lord. So the clouds are asking Radharani, you want us to give a message to the Lord, but how do we know who he is? How can we identify him? We should know the person, not to give a message. Of course, it is said that the clouds knew that Krishna is that person who has our complexion. Okay. So the clouds could relate to Krishna through that way. But Radharani told them that you go, you will realize who he is. He says when you go to Vrajabhumi, when you go to Gokul, wherever you see that lakhs and lakhs of eyes are watching one person all the time, you realize that that person is Krishna. That is what it is. So, when Krishna dances, it is said that even the Gandharvas are there. The Gandharvas are the best singers and the Apsaras are the best dancers. And when you see Gandharvas and Apsaras doing a program together, that is the best entertainment in this world. But it is said that when Krishna is dancing, the Gandharvas forget the Apsaras are dancing. The Apsaras, no, rest time for them. Nobody watching them dancing. So this is Nrityam Madhuram and then Sakhyam Madhuram. So Sakhyam is Krishna's affection for his, in Sakhyas, for his devotee. Bhishma saw this affection when Krishna took a vow, I am not going to raise any Astra Shastra in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. But Bhishma Dev said that I want to bring out this mood of the Lord to its fullest hilt. So what he did? He deliberately took an arrow and took it at Arjuna. And Krishna saw that, what did he do? Immediately got down from the chariot, took a chariot wheel. Now why should Krishna take the chariot wheel? Krishna could have actually said, Sudarshan. Like that, even the Jagai Mother, he did that. In 1 second, Bhishma is finished. But he took the chariot wheel because the intention of Krishna was never to kill Bhishma. Right? Now, Bhishma is also another devotee. But Krishna took it just to give that intense mood that I am picking up this, because I can't pick up a weapon as a Sudarshan is a weapon. But I am picking up the chariot wheel and now I am charging towards. So he is keeping his promise as well as he is charging towards Bhishma Dev. Right? And Bhishma is witnessing this. Bhishma, exactly. This is what I wanted to say. Okay. Thank you very much. I never wanted to kill Arjuna. Right? But this is what I wanted to see. So by doing that pastime, what did Lord Krishna do? He fulfilled Bhishma's desire of seeing that mode of the Lord protecting his devotee. What can the Lord do in his Sakhyam? Sakhyam Madhuram. Like that. Then Gita Madhuram is what? The Lord Krishna can speak eloquently. Okay. And everything that the Lord speaks has a deep meaning and it attracts everyone. And the beauty is the Lord can not only speak in multiple languages like French, Telugu, Tamil. No. The Lord can speak even the languages of the animals also. So he is the person who knows all the languages. So Gitam Madhuram. And then Pitam. His Pitam or color is described, glorified. Then Bhuktam Madhuram. Bhuktam means nobody can eat like the Lord. Who is the biggest consumer? Lord Jagannath. So Bhuktam Madhuram. And Shuktam Madhuram. Now again, when we are studying third canto, which we are currently teaching in the Bhakti Vaibhav course, in the third canto, it is Brahma's prayers. Brahma is saying, oh Lord, you are sleeping. While sleeping, who can produce anything? People are not even conscious, right? So, Lord is sleeping, but the Lord is sleeping what? Not on that, what is that? $2,000 mattress, right? Lord is sleeping on top of a roaring ocean. In the middle of a roaring ocean, he is sleeping. Can any one of us sleep in the middle of a roaring ocean? Not, no way we can do. But the Lord is sleeping there. And then on top of that, he is sleeping on a serpent bed. Right? And what is happening from there, the Lord is creating even in his position of sleep. So this only Lord Narayan can do. So we are not going to discuss, obviously we don't have time now, it's already 8:45. So the point was that, so these poems which pure devotees like Vallabhacharya who are tasting the sweetness of the Lord, unless we meditate on this and get deeper on this, in which other way will love for the Lord come? There is no other way, right? So by chanting, by hearing, and when we hear these pastimes of the Lord, and when we meditate in our chanting on these, in addition to hearing the holy name, which is the beginning of chanting, then what happens? Then our love or preeti for the Lord increases. And when this preeti increases, fear of material life gradually goes away. Automatically it happens. Janayati asu vairagyam jnanam chayada vedukam. Whatever knowledge is required, that automatically comes. Whatever detachment that has to come will automatically come. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayogita. Janayati asu vairagyam. Very soon,
Jnanam Jayadayatu. Knowledge and detachment will come. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that, my dear Lord Krishna, ever since I have heard your flute, ever since I have seen your smile, ever since I have seen your face, I have lost. For example, he says, ever since I heard your flute, I have lost the taste to hear anything else. Ever since I saw your face, I have lost the taste to see anything else in this world. So he says, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Lord, you are the stealer of my senses. You are the biggest thief. You are stealing my senses. So this is the way of directly remembering Krishna, which is recommended for the devotees. But Krishna is so merciful, he also helps the devotees, the non-devotees or people who are not yet there, to remember either through the Virat Road or through common phenomena in this world. Our nervous system, our digestive system, when we put food in our mouth, everything is automatically happening. So through that indirect way also, he helps us remember. For those people who still can't remember in that way, through the mother's love, Prabhupada says, mother's love comes to us through Krishna. Krishna gives us love through his devotees, through our family members. So any love we receive is Krishna's love we are receiving through that person. So through the mother's love, then we get a reflection of Krishna's love. For those who are intellectually, who want intellectually to remember the Lord, then there is science Krishna has given, material science that he gives. The Upanishads are there. Then for people who have strong identities, as I am a fighter, or I am a businessman, or I am a hard worker, work is worship, then Krishna gives Varanashrama Dharma to purify them. So directly or indirectly, Krishna gives everyone a chance to remember him at the time of death. But for the soul, for the devotee specifically, he gives holy names, he gives prasadam, he gives books to us. So when we begin to even indirectly worship the Lord through the indirect processes, then what happens? We develop Shraddha, initial loose faith, and through that Shraddha, then we go through the process of Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivriti, and then we come to the point of condensed faith, which is called as Nishtha platform. It is said that only after the Nishtha platform, the Lord's form starts manifesting in our hearts. And only after the Bhava platform, then the Lord's gun or his qualities are completely revealed to us. And then it culminates in love. When we see the form and we release the qualities, then it leads to Krishna prem. But the basic for this is Shravana. So the entire life of a sadhaka, especially sadhana bhakti, is all about relishing, continuously relishing. Prabhupada says here, therefore, for one who very seriously practices devotional service during his lifetime in order to understand the constitutional position of the Supreme Lord, liberation from this world is guaranteed, even if he has been previously addicted to sinful habits. Prabhupada says like that. So when a devotee does this sincerely, then devotee will return back to what has without a doubt, regardless of which background the devotee has come from. Initially indirect way and then direct way of relishing the madhurta of the Lord. So I'll stop here. Okay, any questions or comments?
So association of Paramahamsas is something very key to our transformation. We don't have that access. Like Prabhupada is there, books is there, but also personal association needs to be there, do you think? And how we can get it if we don't actually have access?
Yeah, so the question is, how can we get access of, how can we get personal access? Personal access to Srila Prabhupada, obviously we cannot have, because Srila Prabhupada has wound up his pastime in the world. So we take association of Vani, when the Acharya has already wound up his pastimes. But we can take personal association of devotees by going for yatras, retreats, etc. That is the way we get. So unfortunately, because of COVID, we can't. But then we can take association of whatever association is available here. So still here we have association, we like Devamrita Maharaj was here. So we took
many devotees came to the temple on that day and took personal association with Maharaj. So personal association can be taken like that, you know, in yatras or when these saintly personalities visit our sector. And then take opportunity, if they are willing to come to our house, then invite them. And then, you know, then we can have some confidential discussions with them. So it can be happened by various levels. Or we can fix an appointment with them. There will be some coordinator. For example, when Devamrut Maharaj comes here, I am sure somebody is managing his roster. Similarly, when Jayapadaka Maharaj comes again, there will be, you know, so devotee, Maharaj always gives darshan to devotees. Special darshan, he says. He'll come. Every personally he will place the Jagannath toothbrush, no, that is? Or on everyone's head. So yeah, so. Okay, we'll stop here. Gatrashina Bhagavati.
Jai
Prabhupada.
Jai.
Jai.